Two different extremes when it comes to forgiveness. I know I tease your emotions, probably. You got the first one coming up there is some kids, and they're talking about, oh, somebody messed up my room. Somebody took a toy. Somebody did a couple of things. They ate my animal crackers when I told them not to. And then we see the other side, in the extreme case, where a man, and some may call him an animal, killed women. And that man, the last meal, all the people coming up before, and they were condemning him and saying how they felt. And perhaps they had a reason to, because he did some terrible things. Let me see how this works here. Those 5 minutes didn't count against me, all right? And so the last man comes up, and he forgives that man. And I think to myself sometimes, you know, I don't have a daughter. I don't have, you know, somebody like that. But could I have done the same? I don't know. That's extreme forgiveness. And that's what we're going to be getting into today. Today I'm going to be launching into a three-part message series on forgiveness. I'm just following Brad Klevinsky's, what he's been doing with his sermonettes. And I'm just kind of thought I'd give it a try. I started researching this subject on forgiveness. And what happened is I found out that there is a lot, and I was talking to one of my good friends here, and he said you could probably have 7 to 10 messages maybe on forgiveness as you dive in deeper and deeper into what forgiveness is and where it comes from, and he's absolutely right. But I've condensed it down to 3. Next time I speak, I think that's going to be in March sometime, maybe the second weekend, we're going to dive into asking for forgiveness, which is hard to do as humans. Asking for forgiveness, because there's a lot of pride involved in that. And then the third time I speak, probably it's going to be in the early April, we're going to be launching, we're going to be covering what I think might be the most powerful and most freeing of all messages for all of us, is forgiving yourself. And so that's going to be in sometime in April. So, but today we're going to be covering, or I'm going to be sharing a message about forgiving others. And why I speak about this is because this is something that I've struggled with and I continue to struggle with. But by the grace of God, I've been able to make some headway in forgiving others. It's not natural to forgive others. It surely isn't. But that's what we're called to. I'm going to start off this by reading a collection of scriptures. And then after I'm done, I'm going to give you the scriptures for all you note takers. So right now, if you can just listen while I read. Story time almost. It says here in these scriptures, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. To you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. That comes from 4 different scriptures in the Bible. I'm going to, for all you note takers, if you're going to write this down, Ephesians 4:32, Mark 11:25, Matthew 6:15, and Luke 6:27. Now, what I just read, I feel like was pretty direct from God and from Christ and his messengers as far as what forgiveness really is. And when I was reading that, I didn't really see any part of it that said, forgive others, but you don't have to if they do this to you. I didn't really read a caveat in forgiveness that the scriptures was talking about. So sometimes they pitch it right down the middle. That's been a buzz thing I've been thinking about. Sometimes they pitch it right down the middle. It is what it is. It is what it says. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question here as we start. How many of us have been hurt by somebody? Now, you can just raise your hands in your mind. You don't have to raise your hands out loud. I know Shane just raised his hand. He's been hurt sometime. Thank you, Shane. That's a rhetorical question. We've all been hurt. At some point in our lives, somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody... it could have been a family member in a husband-wife situation. Could have been a parent-child. A child did something. A parent did something. It could be a close friend. You've been really hurt, betrayed by a close friend. Could be a relative, a distant relative, a close relative. It could be the person down the street, the person at the YMCA, the person at the grocery store, the person down I-75 as you're coming into downtown Chattanooga. Well, this is actually 24, so this is where all the trouble really is, right down this stretch once you get off 75. But we've all been hurt at some point in our lives. What might have happened, honestly, could just have been sometimes a miscommunication. I'd like to chalk up a lot of my hurt feelings to just, I just didn't understand what the person was saying. Or that person just didn't communicate it clearly enough for me to understand, and therefore I kind of took it the wrong way. It could be a non-issue. It really could have been. And that person was non-intentional. It could have been very non-intentional by the person. The person wasn't trying to hurt you. Non-intentional. It could have been an actual issue, but a very small one. Somebody, you know, cut in front of you on 24, almost caused a wreck. Somebody stole something from you from the locker room. Somebody just had a bad week and you said something to them, and man, they just flared up and they said something to you. Nothing too crazy, but just maybe something that kind of made you a little upset. People have hurt each other. It could have been, you know, I like to say sometimes an issue that I have is Southern Home oatmeal cream pies. I mean, there is nothing like real Little Debbie's. And when somebody brings in Southern Home oatmeal cream pies, that kind of hurts me, because I'd like to have the real Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie. But I'm getting away from my point there. I'm reminded of a story that happened to me last year. I like to play basketball at the YMCA down here in downtown, and I play in the evenings. Some of us like to play in the afternoons during lunchtime. I'm not that motivated sometimes to leave where I work. But I remember this one guy I was playing against, and I think I told maybe Phil or David or somebody about this, but we were playing. I wasn't on the top of my game. I really wasn't performing as well as I should have been. I understand that. And he said something, and honestly, I cannot remember what he said. But it flared me up. I was really upset. And I thought about that. I don't know what he said. He was obviously criticizing me in some way. And I was just so, that whole evening, I'm just coming home just so venting. I'm just a little upset about what he said. And then the next day, I'm just thinking about it. Like, if I ever see that person, oh, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. If I ever see him, I'm going to be rude. I'm going to take it to the paint. I'm going to give him an elbow and just maybe put it on up there, and he'll learn his lesson. It just really ate at me for a while, what this person said. There's a couple things that people, I advise probably not to do against me, because, you know, there's some, everybody has their buttons that you can push. One of them for me, and I'm sorry, it's hard for me, but it's just sly comments, little sliding comments that kind of, you know, but the problem is, it's because I'm an overanalyzer. I'll be honest, it's a good thing to sometimes be an overanalyzer, but then sometimes it's a bad thing to be an overanalyzer. Because I'd like to say, sometimes to the credit, if I'm overanalyzing, maybe I can get to the issue quicker, you know, and more efficiently. But if you are overanalyzing what somebody says, and then it starts morphing and growing into something in your own mind that really it's not even true. And perhaps his was very intentional, that guy I was playing ball. And I can't even tell you what he said. It was only last year. Maybe I'm just getting older. I don't know. I can't remember things. But he said something. It was probably a very small thing, but it really did affect me. It kind of hurt me at the time. And it took a couple of days for me to get over it. And then sometimes in the realities and what we saw up on the screen, which I apologize if that kind of brought up any raw emotions to anybody, but that kind of sick stuff does happen in this world. But it can be severe things that people have hurt you. I'm not going to elaborate on marriage things because I'm not married, but I can imagine within a marriage there could be things that happens that could cause untrust, that could cause doubts, could cause worries within that, and that's not good. You know, there's people out there, both men and women, that are out there attacking each other sexually, verbally, physically. we all hear about this in the news. We all hear about this or read about this on Yahoo.com, which I see. I try to gloss over those news articles, but they're real. They're out there. People are really suffering. People are really getting hurt. Severe issues out there. There's a couple different categories. And for some of us here, sometimes we've been hurt and those wounds are still fresh in our minds. Right now, as you sit here, you're probably, some of this stuff's coming to the surface and you're thinking to yourself and you're starting to think about maybe that person or whoever that person might be that had offended you or hurt you in your life. And the wounds are still fresh. Others of us have learned over the years to just maybe, you know, what am I doing right there? I don't know. I'm taking those emotions and I'm just kind of putting them down deep. I don't want them to ever come up. It could have been years of hurt, things that happened 40, 30, 20, 50 years ago. But over the course of our lives, we've just kind of learned to maybe just put it and just kind of shove it down to a place and not revisit it. Because we want to get through the day. We want to just function. And dealing with these issues is just going to cause a scene and nobody's going to benefit from it. So you think to yourself, well, I'm just going to put it, my emotions and my hurt and my pain deep down and I'm just going to try to function. Other ways people try to deal with the hurt, they're not really that good at dealing with the hurt. Who is? Going to things of the world, like alcohol, right? You can abuse alcohol. You can abuse prescription medications. As Brad brought up, he's not here, but and I'm not saying that because I'm trying to like tell people he's not here, but he's just not here. You know, he's probably sick. His family's been having some sickness in his within his family. But he brought up, you know, what addictions are some of the biggest top, like most addictive things, and was number one was, I think, prescription meds, right? Something like that. I think it was. So prescription meds, you know, you got the boom of the internet, you know, naked things. You see what I'm saying? Things on the World Wide Web. And in movies now, you know. In the movies, you know. People deal with things in other ways, such as lashing out, getting angry. Just sometimes they just become emotionally stonewalled. You ever dealt with somebody emotionally stonewalled? It's hard to deal with somebody like that. You know, you can't talk, you can't grow, you can't change. There's a lot of emotions at play, isn't there? First, a couple things that come to mind. When you've been hurt, and somebody's hurt you in a real way, a couple things that come to mind as far as emotions at play is anger, hurt, fury. You're furious. You're upset. And that might go into, you know, then you become sad. You can become sad about this. And then it turns into apathy. Whatever. I'm just indifferent about this now. You feel hopeless. And sometimes you just start not trusting the person. Somebody hurts you. You don't want to go connect with that person anymore. Okay, I'm done with him. Or I'm done trying to communicate with that person. It's kind of the way sometimes emotions get the better of us. And what happens is, and we're about to get to the first point today, what happens is sometimes those things stew within us. Those things stew and they come together and they just sit there and they start to rot and they start to grow into something dark and dangerous and something more serious. Note takers, we're going to talk about bitterness. Bitterness. Have you ever met somebody who's really bitter? Not a lot of joy there, I'll tell you that. Bitterness. And bitterness, honestly, on the surface level, I've realized, because I've held things in, and I've been bitter at things, that just hurts you. You know what I'm saying? Bitterness just hurts you. Because that person might not even know you're upset with them because of what has happened. Like I said, it's like a dark, nasty sickness. It's a dark, nasty sickness. It eats away at you. Recently, I watched, a couple of us watched Hobbit 3. You know, that's one of them Lord of the Rings things. And you got Thorin Oakenshield, who's the main protagonist in the movie. And he wants to get back to Erebor, which is his city that he That's his city that was taken from him by a dragon. And he wants to get back to that gold. There's a lot of gold in that, and from what they put up on the screen you see in that movie. There's a lot of gold. But what happens is that gold and that lust for gold and that sickness eats away at him, and he turns into something that he was never, what he was never had been. He turns into something strange, something weird. That's not who he is. But bitterness, it's like a sickness. It eats away at you slowly and slowly, and you just get used to that feeling. Whew. You can't put a Band-Aid on bitterness. You really can't put a Band-Aid on the hurt and the pain that somebody may have caused you. Because you want to think, I'm just going to put a Band-Aid on it. I'm going to cover it up. But you haven't started to treat, we haven't started to treat the actual problem. It starts getting infected. And once those things start getting infected, that starts getting into your bloodstream. And that then spreads throughout your entire body. So as you can see, bitterness, like a sickness, like a wound that is not dealt with head on, down the middle, straight on, that turns into a sickness that turns in you into something else. It really does. It's time to get to some scriptures. Hebrews 12:15. And again, I'm going to be reading out of the NLT. I'm not suggesting this version. You know, most of you have NKJV, but I use this, and I use the NKJV on interchangeably. So I'm just saying I'm using Hebrews 12:15. I don't know why I said all that for just to say I'm using New Living Translation. Hebrews 12:15. It says this: look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. We surely need to receive the grace of God, and we have to look after each other within our relationships, within our church family, within our whatever, in our whatever too, so we can always receive the grace of God. Watch out, and here's where it comes that I'm getting to. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Bitterness does that. Bitterness corrupts you and changes what once was maybe just a joyful, happy person who's excited for life into somebody who's just dismal and just kind of negative all the time and just going around with a cloud of rain over them. Bitterness can corrupt. There's scriptures in the Bible that says this, you know, love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong, but bitterness keeps detailed records. Now, isn't that so true sometimes? When somebody hurts you, you kind of almost remember everything that they've done. It eats away at you slowly and slowly. I know how that is. That's why I'm talking about this, because I'm trying to help myself. There's a quote out there that this one minister said in his message, and I really like it. Maybe a little strong, but I kind of like it. It says this: unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison, hoping the other person dies. Right? Now think about that. Bitterness just honestly does you more harm and hurts you more than sometimes the other person, because that person either A, doesn't know, or that person just flat out doesn't care. That's the type of person that person is. And here you are suffering. Bitterness. It's rough. Now, I read this during the little passage I read for you note takers for the second one. Second point today, forgive, so you shall be forgiven. What do I mean by that? Well, let's reread Matthew 6, starting in verse 14. Why is it so vitally important to practice forgiveness? Well, we're going to read this. It says here, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, If you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And I don't know how much more straightforward that can be, if we're getting real. If you forgive others, your God will forgive you. If I forgive others, and if I practice that in my life, and I go to God and ask forgiveness, He's more than happy to forgive me. But the other side is that if I shun forgiveness from people, if I dwell on things and I just don't forgive them, my Heavenly Father God is not going to forgive me. That's just what the Scripture says. It's not my own translation. I'm reminded, I think we're all reminded, about the parable in the Scriptures that talk about this. There is a king who was doing an account or checking into his accounts to make sure it's all up to date. He found out one of his servants owed him quite a bit of cash. Okay, it's coming to you now, right? And so he called this servant who owed him around 10,000 talents, I believe is what it says. Some may put it at 20 years of wages. Think about that. This guy owed him 10,000 talents, 20 years of wages, roundabout. And this person begged the king for forgiveness. Please, please forgive my debt. What a huge debt. If someone owed you 20 years of wages, I mean, how quick would I be to forgive somebody like that? But, okay, must be really rich. So maybe that's what the situation was. 20 years of wages is nothing to me or to the king. But that's a lot of debt. And maybe it was for that king as well. We don't know. We don't know his income statement, his balance sheets. We don't know how much money he actually had in reserves. But it's a lot of money that was forgiven. Let's pick up the story in Matthew 18, verse 28. Matthew 18, starting in verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. Quite a bit less, right? Quite a bit less. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Whoa. Going on, his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. The servant said, "Give me some more time, I'll try to repay you." "Be patient with me and I will pay," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested. This guy who had just been forgiven quite a bit of moolah, threw this guy in jail for a few thousand dollars until the debt could be paid in full. Then when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called to the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you, to us, if we refuse to forgive our brothers and sisters from our heart. The question I have to wrap up this last point here is, if we're really honest with ourselves today, and I'm going to be honest with myself, how much has God forgiven every single one of us here? How much has God forgiven me? It's safe to say, and I'll just be honest with you, you don't have to, I'm not going to share everything with you. He's forgiven a lot for me. You know, my parents don't even know a quarter or a tenth of perhaps what I've done in my life. God knows 100% of what I've done. And He has forgiven me all. Now, that did require some change in my life. It wasn't just free. It is free, but I had to change the way I was living. But He had forgiven all, just like this king had forgiven all this debt. If God has forgiven us so much in our lives, should we not also forgive others as well? Now, I know probably you're thinking, well, You're right. Maybe I can start forgiving a little bit. Maybe I'll start forgiving, you know, the small things, but those big things, those severe pains, those hurts, I'm not sure if I can forgive that. You're probably thinking that, and I understand. It's not a process. You know, it's not an instant process, what I mean to say. Sometimes this way of forgiveness, this concept of forgiveness, will take your entire life to scratch the surface on what it truly means to be forgiveful, forgiving. So how do we forgive? How can we start to practice a little forgiveness? Maybe it does start with the easy ones. Maybe somebody cut in front of you and you say to yourself, hey, I'm just going to forgive you. It's okay, not a big deal. Somebody said, and I'm pointing to myself here, somebody said a sly comment to me. You know what I'm saying? And I'd say, hey, I'm gonna forgive that. I'm going to let that go. I'm gonna let that be. You know, somebody steals something from you, you start to remember the scripture that says, you know, God gives and God takes. And you say, take it. I forgive you. Somebody's going to start off a little easy with the easier things. Somebody within your relationships, your marriages, your family, your business partnerships. Maybe it's going to start there and it's going to be easy to do certain things. But then sometimes when it comes to the real severe, hurtful things that you've experienced in your lives, that I've experienced in my life, maybe it's not going to be easy and we wouldn't know where to start. Maybe we just don't know where to start. But there is a place to start, and that starts while getting on your knees and being honest with God and saying, God, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this hurt that this person has caused me. I know what your scripture says. Your scripture says to forgive so that I can be forgiven. But I don't know how to do it, and I need to ask you right now to show me how. I need you to take my hand and direct me down this path of learning how to forgive. It is tremendously hard to be a truly forgiving person. In Matthew 5:43, I read this earlier, I believe. Matthew 5:43 says this, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as a true child of your Father in heaven. Easier said than done. As humans, loving our enemies is such a radical thought and notion. It's almost unheard of. You don't want to. We're in a environment. We're in a generation where it's about if somebody hurts you, an eye for an eye. You know, you go hurt them. You go, you know, you get some payback in. But what if we started practicing what the scripture says and starting to actually pray for those people? Praying for those people that have hurt you. Because honestly, we don't know what they're going through. You know, some of the smaller things in life. You know, I look back upon that guy who said that sly comment to me, and then I've, you know, racked my brains over that for many, many days. How do I know that he is not just a victim of his upbringing? Maybe all that was said to him when he was growing up is negative, negative, negative comments. And so therefore, all he knows to give other people is the same thing. Sometimes we are a product of our upbringing. But we are to change. So should I not be a little compassionate? Should I not pray for that person? As if I'm a follower of Christ, acting as a true child, being a true child of the living God, what the scripture says. Should I not be doing that? Praying for those who hurt you. This minister I was listening to, he said this, and it kind of has kind of stuck with me as, you know, I write things down at work when I hear something that I like. And he said this, and I think it's very true. Our prayer may not change the person. It might not change them, but it will always change us. Our prayer might not change the person, but our prayer might change us. And when we pray honestly out of the right heart to learn to forgive and to be compassionate and be merciful people to those people that have hurt us, you might leave a little different. You might leave a little free. from that hurt, that pain, as you learn to leave that with God. Because he wants to take that from all of us. All the hurt and all the pain he wants to take from his children. Because I remember the scripture that says, God is the one who avenges his people. We don't need to worry about getting back at somebody. I don't need to worry about barreling through the lane and giving a little shoulder, an elbow to that person. I hope that person changes, and I hope that person becomes, you know, more in line with what the Bible says. I hope I do the same as well. It's not just him, me. But God avenges. God will take care of you. Leave it with him. I'm going to be a little more transparent. I'm starting to close here. Some people are worried. Be a little more transparent. So one time earlier in my life, when I was, I'm still pretty young, I realize that. When I was younger, about 19 or 18, I went through a little season of my life that was pretty difficult for me. It was probably the best season of my life because it really changed who I was, made me come alive in a way to what I had been hearing for how many years my parents and I have been attending with you all. You know, I had a friend, and I thought him as a friend. I sure did. I thought him as a good friend. And I ran into some issues, and he just kind of left me. And he just kind of abandoned me. And I had to take the brunt of the problems, and I was kind of hurt by that. You know, I thought him a true friend. I thought, you know, hey, he's going to help me through this. He's going to bail me out, and we're going to go back to normal. You know, I'm thankful he didn't, because I had to go through what I had to go through. But for years, I'll be honest here, for years, I would think about this person with negative thoughts. Negative things in my mind. You probably think of me, you probably see me up here, and you think to myself, oh, Jacob, he's just a great, he's a loving guy, he's a friendly guy. Oh, he would never do something like that. But let me be honest with you. I had such a hard time thinking about this person. It's kind of shameful to think, to even admit what I was thinking in my head. It wasn't good things, I'll tell you that. Kind of sometimes R-rated, if I'll be honest here. But I thought those things, and every time a friend would mention him or something, I would get kind of angry, and I would say something snippy, and then I would just go wherever, and I'd fume about it. I'd fume, and then, you know, it just so happened I was looking in the paper, and I saw, you know, recent, like, they started putting this up on the, up at the gas station registers, they put this Just Busted. You know what I'm talking about? Just Busted? I saw him in there. And I thought to myself, ha. You know, he got something there. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, look at him. And that's when it hit me. Am I really happy in the suffering of somebody else? Even if I consider him my enemy, quote unquote, and I see him suffering in his life, am I really happy? Should I be happy in somebody else's suffering, even though I might not like that person? Am I being a Christian? Is Christ happy with what I'm thinking? I think we all know the answer to that. It's no. And like I said, for years I've been dwelling with this person, thinking about this person. And for years I felt like this was holding me back in a way. Holding me back from getting over it. It's like a wound, that bitterness. It's a wound that if you never deal with, you don't ever get over it. And it just keeps eating away at you. And finally, after so many years, you know, I finally just thought to myself, hey, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is dumb on my part. This person did this. So what? As Mr. Lichtenstein would say. So what? Let people do what they do. I'm in charge of what I can do. As I can be a Christian if I want to be. And we must be. And so I kind of let that go. I said, hey, I had to speak my peace to God and just forgive him and call today. And to this day, I honestly hope he's doing well wherever he's at. I really do. You say with a clear conscience, I hope he's doing well. I don't wish any ill on him. But that was not so many, many years ago. It wasn't. Who or what has been holding you back? As you sit here and reflect upon the people that have hurt you in your life, who and what is holding you back today? Is that person even in the area? Is that person even alive? It's kind of crazy to think about, maybe, that from the graves, people can still have a hold on you and influence your life. They're dead. They're awaiting a resurrection. Okay? They're gone. Why is that person, whoever it might be, still holding you back and still influencing you today? Maybe it's time for us to start dealing with it. Maybe it's time to start dealing with the issues. Maybe it's time, if it's a less severe issue, to call that person up and tell them what's going on. Start being honest with that person. Maybe it's your mate, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your parent, maybe it's your close friend, whoever it might be. Maybe it's time, if you think you have to use wisdom about this, maybe it's time to just maybe kind of open that up and see how forgiveness can change that relationship. And like I said, maybe it's too hard and you don't know how to deal with it. Maybe it's a severe thing. You know, I can tell you that those people up there, we just saw that guy up there who committed all those murders. That's hard. That's a severe thing. Maybe some people here have experienced something as severe, and we're not sure how to deal with it. But there is an opportunity we have to ask for help. Maybe asking help from, obviously, first and foremost, our God. And then second and fourth, maybe an option, a trained person in that field. It's better to lay down our pride and just seek counsel and seek help to get over this, because we have to. Because if we can't forgive, God won't forgive us. That's what the scripture says. What kind of weird sick satisfaction that we might have from withholding forgiveness is so easily outweighed by the hope and peace of restoration within a family? It really is. You might think to yourself, I'm going to hold on to this forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive this person. But I'm telling you that the peace and the restoration and the healing that you receive outweighs that if you can learn how to forgive. I'm reminded of the example of Christ. I really am closing here. This is where I'm really closing. I have a closing and then I have a really closing. I'm reminded, and honestly, we're approaching this season, are we not, of, you know, remembering what Christ went through. You know, he was born a human, a God who was born human, to go through trials and to preach life to people, preach life to us many years later. He suffered, he was spat upon, he was disrespected, he was bruised, he was betrayed, he was hurt, he was given over to strangers, he bled, and his body was really mangled up. Really mangled up for all of us. He did all that. And all those people that were standing around there while he was being crucified, he looked out upon them, and I think you know what I'm going to say. He looked out upon them and with kindness in his heart and mercy, and that hope of a future that he clung to, he said, looked up to his Father, and he said this, Father, please forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And there upon that cross, or tree, whatever, it doesn't matter, he was crucified. For all of ours and all of mankind's past, present, and future sins, he died. It's probably the greatest example of forgiveness I can come to. And he did that willingly, out of love and compassion. And we sit here today as Christians. We sit here today as Christians. Christians means Christ followers. If Christ can forgive all those people, if Christ can forgive all that was done to him and all that we have done and we will do in our lives, and every sin ever that has ever taken place in the history of mankind, should we not pursue in doing and having that same attitude towards others? I say pursue. I didn't say be automatically. It's going to be a process. I hope that we can all start experiencing that healing and restoration that comes in our lives and relationships by addressing the bitterness, that pain and that hurt, addressing it. Start praying and wishing good things on our enemies and then forgiving them when the time is right and when you're ready, forgiving them as our God and our Christ has forgiven us.